Live from the front lines, welcome to Stats Chat, hosted by Brad Zinda and Kaylin Sijikin. This is where strategy meets straight talk. It's bold ideas, real growth, and whatever else hits the mic. This is Stats Chat.
Well, we're back live again from the Arden Hills Center. Bilu, welcome to the party today.
My first time on the Stats Chat show.
Yeah, it is. And we are super excited. Kaylin, what do you think?
I'm excited. He's excited. I can tell. I can tell he's excited.
So far, I'm doing okay. Join
all the listeners out there.
Well, yes. As most people know, we are live from Studio 26. We named it 26, my hockey number. So why would
okay.
you?
GPS doesn't know. Luzon doesn't know.
Yeah, Luzon has no idea this is Studio 26, but we're going with it. We thought we'd talk a little bit about marketing. Bilu, today is special because I think of you as one of the best when it comes to marketing for ideas.
I appreciate that.
I mean, you talked to so many advisors over the years. I know I had a chance to work with you back in the day, and I learned a lot from you, and I think our advisors have learned a lot from you over the years too. So we thought we'd bring you in.
It's kind of the lifeblood of everything. If you're not prospecting, you're definitely not growing your business. So
that's correct.
It's out of necessity that we prospect.
Yeah. There's a couple Chuckisms around that, isn't there? We talked about that the other day.
No problem you can't prospect your way out of. That is very true. How was the answer?
That's correct. So today we'll just talk a little bit about how important it is to have multiple marketing channels. We'll kind of start, you know, I know Kaylin, you wanted to kind of kick it off with, you know, really the beginning, how advisors get into this business, what they typically do right out of the gates, and where maybe they go, you know, 4, 5, 10 years down the road.
Yeah. I thought it'd be kind of just an easy place to start, just the evolution of what an advisor does when they start off in the business.
Yeah.
Like, you know, usually buying leads or in-person seminars in some way, shape, or form, they grind that gear until they can't grind anymore, right?
Yeah.
It usually takes 10 years or so, or, you know, a couple of years at least, right? And then kind of the evolution then, when we see these higher level offices, how they have multiple oars in the water regarding not just continuing events maybe, but referral events, client events, TV, radio, podcasts, you name it. So I thought we'd just kind of talk about the evolution of kind of like where people start to then where successful advisors go to and all they do along the way.
I mean, I think when you're getting started, you're generally speaking not flush with cash when you start any business. I know we started Gradient, but you don't have the ability to afford an unknown lead source. Not that a seminar or leads are an unknown lead source, but they're very direct marketing. They're very primary sources of marketing. They're, if I do A, I will get B. Mm-hmm. If I do a seminar, I'll get 12 appointments. If, you know, that relationship, I need my money to come back or a chance coming back pretty immediately. I can't wait for, well, TV takes 6 months. Great, I won't be here in 6 months if I do that. So
right.
So you start scratching away at it, buying some leads. Okay, once I write some business, I'll buy some more leads, right? Which is not a great way to go about it because you got to wait to buy your next lead. So you're not consistent. Then you kind of get into seminars because it's a higher budget item, right? Same deal. I would argue that seminars are more cost efficient and time efficient than leads are, but that's a different story for a different day. You get those going, same thing in the beginning. I'll do one, I'll get the money back, I'll do one. Mm-hmm. So then eventually you can get the production going where it's, you know, consistent. But I think that goes back to also how you manage your own money as an advisor of, are you making money in your business and paying yourself a salary? So you're always building that war chest up to be doing other things, or is everything just going to your checking account, whether I need to do a seminar or buy a new couch? It's the same thing.
Sure. That's correct.
Yep. And from what you've seen too, I think that's important to mention as well. I've heard over the years, advisors, what they kind of like, no matter what comes in, how much goes towards marketing.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
There should be a set stage, exactly like you said. Like, this isn't just to take your family on vacation. Right.
Correct.
Although some advisors do that.
Yeah.
Right. But like, what, you know, I've heard the number 20%, some say more. Like, what have you seen, you know, allocated, like, no matter what we do in business, this amount, percentage, not dollar amount, goes towards this?
Now, you got to be making something, obviously, to be able to do this. I mean, if you're pulling in $60,000 of revenue, you probably need it to support your life in general. So, I mean, there's that number. But you it's more of what allocate is, you're paying yourself a salary, and the salary doesn't change till the end of the year when you make an owner distribution. So, like, let's say your salary is $80,000. That's what you're going to take to support your lifestyle, is what you need. I mean,
Sure.
You could tell me, and you could tell me what it would take to support your lifestyle.
Sure.
You guys are probably higher than mine is, but you know.
Well, we were just talking about that, right? They don't sell a 300 on that phone. So.
So like you pay the 80 grand. Now, let's say your business brings in 120. All right. You set aside 20 from those, we're just excluding taxes, whatever. 120, you got 40 extra. Sure. Now that sits there. Is 40 enough? That's probably a good marketing budget to have. Let's leave it in there. Go next year. Now, next year we do 200. I got a 120 surplus. I don't need that much in my war chest. So I'll take an owner distribution of another 40,000, bringing my income to 120. But now I've banked 100 over in my war chest. So I don't look at it as much as 20% of something, because if I have a bad month, it's not much.
Sure.
Like that war chest has to be there. So I look at it more as how much you need in the war chest and pay yourself salary and then figure out the end of the year.
Well, and I think also too, we talk about marketing, and you know, we've talked about this on other podcasts, but one marketing, you know, funnel doesn't necessarily work in all areas. And so if we're spending money in this arena of trying to get in front of more people, new people, we want to make sure that we're spending the right money in the right area so that we do grow our business and not just, you know, dump a bunch into something that we may or may not work in that same area, you know?
Agreed. And in most stuff works. It just depends on how well it works.
Yeah.
And the old joke is half my marketing works. I can never tell which half it is, because that's, I mean, it's true. Sometimes your seminars, you know, they go through a, whatever reason, a 3-month spell where they're just not doing well. Mm-hmm. Radio leads are spiked and then they come back down. So things change, but you have to stay consistent on them and measure them over the long term. It's a long-term game, not a what did it do for me this month.
For sure. I can't, so 14 years in the business for me, I've seen a lot of things happen that I didn't know would happen over the course of that 14 years. When I talk to advisors all the time, I can remember, and this is, you know, pre-2020, right? When COVID was a thing. You know, there were a lot of advisors just doing seminars because they worked so well, right? Yep. And let's be honest, to this day, seminars are probably one of the biggest and best things you can do in the industry to stay in front of more people.
I agree.
But man, I'll tell you what a knockout punch in 2020. If that was the only arm you had in that game and you were doing dinner seminars, think of what that did to your business. And restaurants were closed. I mean, what do you do?
I mean, I think we all remember that. Every advisor listening remembers those times too, especially if you had a seminar scheduled. I mean, I remember people were taking baths.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 20, 30 grand on just out the door for mail that was already dropped and prepayments they made to restaurants. So that was really a tough time. Luckily, I will say around that same time, there was some external factors that allowed some business to be written, right? That kind of got the advisors through that time period, positive MBAs and different things that kind of went on. But I mean, that's exactly the, you know, control what you can control, have marketing in multiple different angles that have something way outside of our control, which COVID was.
Right.
Right. You still have opportunities to write business and find more people.
Correct. And I also just think from a lead flow standpoint, I mean, you have kind of primary marketing sources and secondary. Your primary are your buying leads, your seminars, like there, and there's only a finite number of things like that. I'm going to do A, I get B back. Now there's different ways of buying leads, but whether they're from, you know, smart asset or not so smart asset, they're still leads coming in. One's $20, one's 300. Well, you know, we'll tell you the difference in those two. Mm-hmm. There's a quality difference, right? So those things you have to have going because they're dependent upon your pipeline. And then in the background on your secondary is where you have your radio, you've got your drip emails going, you're, you know, sponsoring the local charity golf tournament. You've got those kinds of things happening every year where I have them in place. And if I need to crank up, if one of my primary ones dies out, the lead flow dies out, the seminars aren't working so well, I can crank up one of the other ones. I'm not getting started in them. I've got my foot in them already. So all I'm doing is dialing up my radio spend or dialing up my TV spend or dialing up my sponsorship package at that community fair or whatever it is
for sure
to get more leads there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And think about, I mean, most top advisors, the one thing that they, you know, they feel is they're reaching a different crowd too, right? Not everybody wants to attend a dinner seminar. Everybody listens to radio. Some might just be focused on their social media, right? And so being able to market in different channels, I think, is a huge advantage. And why most of the top advisors continue to grow, you know, outside of the ones that just stay in that seminar zone, right? They're reaching just different people in different areas.
I think that's, it's also kind of a preference thing of, you guys know Corey in Ohio. He does all of his leads are from TV and radio. And it's not because he doesn't, he can't do seminars. He did them for forever. He just doesn't like, he doesn't enjoy doing them on Tuesday and Thursday night, which whatever, but you know, so it certainly means to end. But he more so enjoys the appointment process he gets from TV and radio, where they're calling him to come in. The sales cycle shorter. The people are more ready to kind of move forward because they're reaching out instead of you offering, you know, chicken in the room.
Right.
Not to say it's not effective, but his spend is probably more than what he would do doing seminars. But it's just a preference deal. Some people don't. They don't want to. They can't do TV because you're in Dallas and it's $87,000 a month or whatever. So like, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but you should at least look as to what is available and plan out that what's directly bringing me in leads and what are the things I have behind the scenes that are also bringing them.
Well, and two, you know, we talk TV and radio a lot. We talked about this on one of the podcasts earlier with Tony Shore. A radio isn't something you can just jump into and get leads out of the gates, right? It's something where you create that following. You get, and we always say 6 to 8 months before you start to see some traction. And to your point earlier, you really don't know if it came from radio. You don't know if it came from TV. You get multiple channels going. You just know that people are coming through your door.
Right.
And that's the point of getting more oars in the water.
And Corey does it all in an intake form. You know, when they come in, the first question is, where did you hear about us? And they'll say TV or radio or whatnot. It's also just because, you know, you're talking about radio, it doesn't have to be a half hour radio show.
Correct.
I can run 15, 30 second commercials.
Right.
If you look at Corey's TV commercials, they're 15 seconds long. He barely even says anything. Like, you'd be like, that really, that works? He's right. Like, yeah, this is what I run. So they don't think a TV is just a show. In TV show, you know, we have a lot of advisors who are doing those segments in the middle of a real news broadcast. They've turned over to the TV, the newscaster, and Brad Zinda and
Rhonda
Zinda Financial Minute. Like, that's a huge credibility builder. That's, I mean, it costs money, but it's not a full-blown TV show you have to produce. So there's a lot of different ways to do these.
Yeah. Real quick plug on an idea. We always like to give an idea or two from Corey. So when he does his commercials, and you guys have probably heard this before, but when does Corey do his commercials during the day? You guys remember this at all?
I for sure do. There's two shows that he likes to follow.
Two shows that people watch.
Their TV every commercials. Day. Yeah.
So he does his commercials around the two most popular shows throughout the day, which is Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
Well, and he says because nobody gets off the couch.
And no one records it.
Nope.
Like it's a 30-minute show. Like, you know, a lot of people nowadays, it commercials come up, you mute it or fast forward through it, or just you're like,
or you're watching Jeopardy, something you that you're watching a streaming service that doesn't have commercials.
Yeah. right. So I mean, I think it's interesting with that. One thing I wrote down here, Bila, you were talking about was consistency, and I can tell you that's one thing I hear all the time. Like, I don't know how many times I've said to people, I stopped doing this, I stopped doing that, and I said, let me guess, it works so well, you stopped it. Stop doing it. Like, it works so well, you stop doing it. And their answer is like, they look in the mirror, they're like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I got bored with it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you want to talk a little bit about consistency and, like, you know, what to do and keep doing things. And
I think a lot of the consistency honestly comes down to the financial aspect of it. Of you didn't budget yourself accordingly. You didn't build that war chest. You're not paying yourself the salary. I mean, just to be honest, and we're all guilty of it. I'm not saying that my personal spending is spot on accurate and excellent either. So like, I get it. But from a business owner standpoint, you have to have that to weather the storm of my seminars are down or whatever. The kiss of death is when you have no money to prospect and nobody to see.
For sure.
Like, that is, that's not a good situation. So yes, you got to be consistent. And also, you can't get, you know, when we get this too, we'll do the same meeting over and over again in the same location. And we get bored with it. Well, we're bored with it, but it's our 100th time doing the meeting. You have to remember, it's the prospect's first time seeing your seminar.
Right.
So I understand you're bored with it, but I hate to tell you, but the seminar is not for your enjoyment. It's for theirs. So you got to go in with a fresh perspective and the energy in there. Like, your own attitude can ruin your marketing campaign because it's you who's got the issue and they're not them. So the consistency is just, you know, having the money to do it, committing to do it, and committing the time frame to reassess later on. So we're not stopping until July, no matter what happens or whatever the time frame is, and pushing through that, and then we'll reevaluate what we're doing.
That's a good point. And you know, honestly, Kaylin, we're approaching the 15-minute mark, and we've been very loyal about that, you know, staying the course on no more than 17 minutes. Because our listeners, I don't know if they can hack another minute past 17. So
our show's 15 minutes, no more than 17.
That's correct. And that includes the spot, right? Exactly. Exactly. So we end with a little something here, but just before you end with maybe a give or something, I wanted to just say, hey, listen, we talked a lot about different marketing, but where do you start, right? And really identifying what's available in your market is a good start. Whether it be TV, radio, seminars, it doesn't really matter. You just add one here, add one there. I'm not saying you jump into this thing and start, you know, rowing away, because it does come with a cost. But one channel creates dependence. Multiple channels create opportunity. Those advisors that continue to get, you know, into more channels, if you will, long-term, those are the ones that just stay visible, relevant, and memorable. And so we want to make sure that if you are able to add another marketing piece to your everyday marketing, please reach out. We've got so many different ways you can get in front of more people. We named just a few today, but honestly, it is something that as you continue to grow, you will see more and more people come through your door. Kaylin, you want to take it to Dunn?
You know, I was thinking about the call to action or something that listeners could maybe get from us here. Something that came to mind is that marketing action plan that we have. It's not to sound simple here, but it's a spreadsheet really that we put a lot of time and energy into, where you can literally plug in different forms of marketing into it. And at the end of the day, you're trying to get to your new AUM goal or to your net assets goal, right? So it does the work backwards for you. You can say, hey, if I get in front of 20 people, I'm going to close 10 of them. Well, if I need to get in front of 20 people, that means I need to, you know, get and do a seminar that gets me in front of 40, right? So you can do the math backwards on that.
A roadmap, right?
Exactly. And that's what it's very important to track, that we have something like that. So
good.
Well, Bilu, man, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, glad to be on the show. Glad to be on the show. Hey, can I come back again sometime?
You are always welcome back anytime you want. Yeah, we'll see what the listeners say first. We've been getting a lot of hits on our other stuff, so we'll see what this one brings. But anyway, we are signing off from 4105 Studio 26. This is your favorite podcast, Stats Chat.
Brad and Kaylin do not offer investment, legal, tax, or accounting advice, and are not affiliated or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. The opinions herein may be from personal experience and may not necessarily be those of Gradient Financial Group, its employees, or affiliates. Any results, topics, or outcomes are for informational purposes only. Financial professional use only.